there's just a sharpening of our strategy of how are we trying to accomplish the mission, which is to see every athlete and coach come into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ and his church. And that word every is really big.
Welcome to the very first episode of Stories of His Glory, a podcast where coaches, athletes, and partners of FCA share powerful stories of how Jesus Christ is transforming lives through the world of sports. I'm Ryan Jungling, Area Director for FCA in North Dakota, and I'm so glad you're here. Each episode, you'll hear real stories of people who've experienced the life-changing love of Jesus, stories that will encourage, challenge, and inspire you to see how God is moving in and through the world of sports and into our lives. The Stories of His Glory podcast is grateful to Copper Dog Waffles and Coffee for their support of FCA and youth athletics. Copper Dog is located on historic Main Street in Mandan and has the best gourmet waffles and custom coffee drinks. When you go, try my favorite waffle, the Rookie. Stop in today for a unique experience. Sweet or savory, there's something for everyone at Copper Dog in Mandan. Today, I'm excited to introduce you to North Dakota FCA State Director Nate Safe. Listen in as Nate shares the impact one of his coaches had on his life, how FCA has grown during his time on staff, and where God is leading FCA in North Dakota. Well, welcome in, Nate. I'm excited to be here today. This is a lot of fun.
I am too, Ryan. This is great. The inaugural episode, this is really awesome because to me, as you've been a staff person within FCA, when you first came on staff, there was this desire that you had to speak, to share your story, to communicate. And I just think this is really cool. This is a baby of that passion. And now here we are. So this is excellent, man.
For sure. This was definitely something that I was thinking about, the power of a story and this whole podcast idea, something that I felt like, hey, what would this look like if we had people on just to share their story? And I think it makes perfect sense that you're a part of this for episode one as we get this thing launched. And so actually, I want to start there. Let's start with the why. Like, this exists to tell stories of how Jesus is at work in people's lives. And the reality with FCA is, yes, we are a sports ministry, but we are really gospel focused, gospel centered, and we use the platform of sport and giving people the opportunity to share about their faith. And so I think the podcast is ultimately seven decades down the road, what Don McLennan set out to do way back in 1954. So I know you've been around FCA for quite a while now. Why don't you share, could you share just that picture a little bit?
Of the ministry?
Yeah.
There's no denying that in this day and age, I lived it. Most of us have lived it growing up as athletes, and now as a parent, as a dad of three young boys. The platform, the desire, the culture of sport is just so massive in our world today. And FCA exists not to like, okay, this needs to be eradicated and taken away. It's like, okay, so this exists. All right. Is there a way that we can leverage this to point people back to Jesus? In some ways, is FCA a niche? Like, yeah, it is, but it's been incredible to see how God has used this platform. And it's been fun. Now, I've been on staff with FCA for like the past 14 years or so, but to just see it grow and God continue to be faithful and continue to just use sports through the influence of coaches and athletes and volunteers, parents, teachers, all of these folks, right? To just give people an opportunity to turn around and point each other back to the hope in the gospel that we have, the good news that we have in Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. You gave a little bit of your background, and we're going to hear more about that as we go. But we get a lot of, in athletics especially, there's a lot of kind of labels that get put on people. When you were a football player, you're an offensive lineman. And not just an offensive lineman, but you had a position and you had a role on a depth chart. And in different sports, there are different labels. In coaching, there are different labels. And just in life, outside of sports. And a lot of those people put on us, somebody else. So what about the ones that, the labels that you have, the roles that you play, that you're like most excited about, three or four different roles? Who'd you say Nate Safe is?
Yeah, no, and praise God that the answer has changed over the course of time, because initially, you know, that identity, that definition of me and my role, it totally was wrapped into that. It would have been the football player. That's really it. And ultimately that ends up being sad if that's all there is, because it ends. So for me, my top three roles, first and foremost, again, praise God, would be just a follower of Jesus Christ. First and foremost, that is the center. That's the beginning of who I am. And hopefully the other things flow out from that. I'm a husband to Alice Safe, we've been married for the last 16 years. We met in college at North Dakota State. Midway through, we dated towards the end, and we got married right after we got out of college. And my role as husband is the second most important title I carry, and then the third most important, and I alluded to it a little bit earlier, but I am the father of three boys, Caden, Charlie, and Spencer, and they are busy. They're 15, 11, and 9 years old, and they are a ton of fun. They keep us busy, and they are a massive priority in my life.
Over the course of the winter, it seemed like every weekend playing, going to a basketball tournament, yes, and going bowling.
Yes, going to a basketball tournament because we're traveling around playing basketball, and then you have young kids and you're like, what am I going to do with this 2 hours? And we have nothing planned. Thank goodness for bowling alleys. So yeah, we spent some time in the bowling alleys this winter.
Yeah. In your identity piece, prior to Jesus, football player was a really important place. So now on staff as with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, there's an athletic part to your story. And so take us back before NDSU and then maybe all the way to NDSU. But what was your competition? Football and what else?
When I was younger, just real typical to a lot of kids, played whatever season it was. I was playing that sport. I was always gravitated towards sports. My dad, Scott, I love my mom and dad. We grew up in Cannon Falls, Minnesota. My dad was a strength coach at the high school. Still is. I don't even know. Maybe it's almost 50 years in now at this point in time. So sports was always like a really big part of our family. I gravitated towards that pretty quickly, but play baseball, football, basketball when I was younger. As I got older, right, I'm like, all of a sudden it's, hey, I'm taller. I'm one of the taller guys, one of the bigger guys. Played basketball until I was an eighth grader, but then really going from that point forward in high school, I was a football and track athlete, and we had a competitive weightlifting team actually in Cannon Falls. That actually is a really big part of like my family and kind of what we do unique. So we really spent a lot of time doing that. It was a ton of fun. And then just had the opportunity after graduating to continue on and to be a football player at North Dakota State University in Fargo, which was really interesting at the time, really not knowing anything. My first interaction with North Dakota State was through a recruiting letter. And now, Minnesota kid growing up, I honestly, the only North Dakota school I'd ever heard of, because I was a Gopher fan at the time, was UND, because UND hockey. And I'm like, what? Who are these guys? And my dad, come on. And so actually, we knew the strength coach at the time for NDSU. So that was my first connection to NDSU. And obviously now I've grown to understand and really appreciate what it meant to be a Bison and to be a fan now. I really appreciate that. But played football for NDSU 2003 to 2007. All of those were in transitional years from Division II to Division I. And honestly, I feel so fortunate for my time. When you look at anything, when you get into it, right, you hope it's going to work out well. You have a plan of how this is going to go. And I feel so fortunate because it worked out great. I had a great experience playing college football. Got to play a lot. We were successful. We won a lot of games. So doing all of those things, like travel all these places, play in front of a lot of people. So as far as like the experience of it, and like around in Fargo, like being a Bison, it's a big deal, like for North Dakota. And to be a part of that was excellent. It was a great experience all the way through college.
Yeah. You're in this transitional phase with NDSU. You're not going to play in the playoffs. Why say yes to that? I feel like as a competitor, like I played college baseball and we weren't any good to get anywhere in the playoffs, but I feel like that's a really big motivator. I was like, we have this chance to win a championship and you're there the entire time that you don't have that chance. So
yeah,
what's behind that?
A little bit of an interesting story to that. We knew that there was a transition coming. So I got recruited by Bob Babich and his staff. Bruce Somm, the offensive line coach back then, is actually the coach who recruited me. And so my entire class, and times were different a little bit back then. We went through and we got to our national signing day. Our whole class signs. Well, literally 2 days after signing day happens, the staff transition. Bob Babich steps down and the whole staff is done. And there's this intermediate time and it's, oh no. But it was definitely a different time because transferring all these things, that wasn't really like a norm. So in some ways, we just didn't know any better. And so I'm so grateful everybody stuck with it. As far as I know, I'm not sure that anybody transferred. I will say, not like we were some great guys or whatever. I think there was ambiguity as far as, hey, are we going to be eligible? That type of thing. But I think at the end of the day, it's like, it feels good to want to be, that somebody wants you to be wanted. North Dakota State, they recruited us. That's where we wanted to be. And so in hindsight, it was a crazy start, but so grateful for how it worked out.
Yeah. I graduated from the other school in North Dakota, the school north of here. So there's definitely some rivalry, which is always fun.
Yep, absolutely.
Always great. But during that time, what was your favorite game? Or maybe one or two different?
So I could share a funny story and then maybe like my most like, this is crazy story.
That's awesome.
Okay, so I'll share a funny story. It's a fairly quick one. So it's because you're a UND guy, I'm an NDSU guy. The first game I ever got to travel to, I was a redshirt freshman for the Bison and we had some injuries. And basically the coaches, because of injuries, hey, your next guy up, we're going to put you on the travel roster for this coming week. We're going up to UND. And I'm like, no way. This is great. I called my mom and dad. There's no way I'm playing in this game. I'm just going to fill out the roster. They drove up to UND, and I've never done anything like this before. So we're on the bus from Fargo, drive up to the Alaris Center, and we park in front of the Alaris Center, go to get off. And I mean, there is a sea of UND fans, and it is like, what? And they are giving it to us on the buses. What is going on? As we open the bus door, and this little kind of chute opens up, runway opens up to this door that we're going in, and we get off the bus and fans are just getting after us. I'm like, and I look at some other guys, I'm like, is it like this every week? And they're like, no, man, this is UND week. This is big rivalry. I'm like, oh, okay. I'm like, so that was like, wow, this is wild. So go through, do the whole pregame thing. And basically my job as a freshman back then was when the offense come off the field and the defense is on the field, the young guys were supposed to be like a human shield behind the starters. And it's pretty tight on the sidelines there between the fans and where the players are. So it literally, you're like a human shield. And I will never forget, there was a gal and she was so funny, but she was going down, a gal in the stands, just going down all of our players, and she had her program. So she could call them out by name. Hey, number 69, you know, Tim, call out a name, and she'd say something. She'd give a guy a hard time, and she's just going down. And it was funny. Like, she was razzing us, but it was funny. And so finally, I'm just waiting because I'm inevitably like, she's going to get to me. And so she gets to me, and she's right in my ear hole, like right behind my helmet. And she's number 77. And there's this pause, and she goes, you're not even on the roster. Because I wasn't yet. It was just a 1 week deal where I got to come with. So everyone laughed like crazy at that one. So that was kind of a funny one. But what a crazy introduction to college football. To be a part of that rivalry was amazing. I would say the coolest experience was my senior year. We beat the University of Minnesota. That was the second time we had played them. And that was really, I think the coolest part, winning the game obviously was great. But before the game started, that dome, I think it held 64,000 people. It was packed. It was a sold out game. I was a captain my senior year. And so we got to come out early. And so none of the other team is out. So when Minnesota comes out of the locker room and onto the field, they do their introduction and the band's going and they come out and shooting off the fireworks. It was cool. We're sitting there, us four, like, oh, wow. And then our team came out and the roar was like, I've never heard before. It gives me goosebumps, even just like remembering. It was incredible. Like, here we are in another team's stadium, and it was like our fans had taken over. That was so surreal. I'll never forget that. And then the fact that we went out and were able to win the game was really cool. But that one sticks out by far as like the coolest experience.
Yeah. Wow. This is hard for me. I'm from a UND guy, but the success of the program since then is pretty well known by people all across the country that know anything about college football. Do you feel like you maybe even sensed it a little bit? I think about the dome and the support and all of that, that just makes me think, yeah, like, what was it like?
I think we knew right away when we came to be a part of the program that we were entering into something that was already pretty special. So I think that it felt like you had a responsibility to carry on something that somebody else had started. So that was cool. I do remember thinking that the whole time. There was quite a bit of a history and past. But yeah, to see it, to move on now, I love being a fan now. It's great. So
yeah, that's awesome. Talked about the football side and the athlete side. But what about like your faith walk when you go to NDSU? Where were you at in that part of your life?
And I would say I grew up so typical. My family, we went to church growing up. We were in a small Lutheran church. My mom and dad still go to that church. Literally, my entire family had gone there since they got off the boat. These people are buried in the back. And so the idea of God and being a Christian, yeah, that was always like part growing up. But I always say like I learned facts about God, but those facts had never connected to my heart. And so like when I came to college, right, and there was more freedom, my faith was not a priority at the time. That's essentially what it was my whole college career until after I was an athlete.
Yeah. So what happened then? because there's quite a time span between then and now. How did you first start to connect to the head knowledge to?
Yeah, that's a bit of a story. So I'll go back a little bit on that one and where that one starts. And that's really my why with FCA is where this connects. Like I said, my mom and dad, Scott and Brenda, phenomenal people. I love my mom and dad. But any kid growing up, like mom and dad say one thing and I know, but it's what do the other people in your life that you respect, what are they saying that connects so often? And like for me, it's somebody whose identity was at that point pretty solely rooted in wanting to be an athlete, wanting to be a football player. Naturally, our football coaches were those people for me that their opinion, their advice, their everything meant the world to me. And so in high school, my head football coach's name was Ted Schultz. Coincidentally, really interesting. He actually became a follower of Christ in college through the ministry of FCA at Augsburg College, graduates, and then his first coaching and teaching job is Cannon Falls High School, where I'm at. So he spent a year or two as an assistant and then took over as head coach. And he was always so much different than the other men that in my life that I looked up to. He was a very outward follower of Jesus. Like it was very clear all the time that his faith was super central to who he was. He would be trying to share the gospel with us, like trying to leverage like these opportunities, you know, like I remember funny, like he would try and make these analogies, like pointing back to his faith, but how our faith and how that would connect to us being football players and all that. So he was like really, he was really intentional, and just how he treated his wife was really unique, how he treated us. And then when they started to have kids later, he was just different. And it was like, he had something that I didn't have. His life had purpose, joy, all of these things. And so anyways, I leave, go off to NDSU. As I think about him, for me at that point, it was like, hey, as far as your commitment to your Christian faith, that's great. But like I said, it wasn't a priority. But as far as respect, man, I respect this guy almost more than anybody. And so when football ended for me at North Dakota State, it was truly a rock bottom type of situation for me, because up until that point, like that truly was all I was focused on doing. That was me. When you talk about, hey, who are you? Oh, I'm Nate Safe. I'm a football player at North Dakota State. Like that was who I was. And like any idol that we put in our life that isn't the Lord, like it just eventually will fail. And it did. And so here I am, year out of college. Like I said, I met my wife, or my girlfriend, who ended up being my wife, Alice, midway through college. So we had been married at this point for about a year. Now it's like my job isn't football anymore. Now I got to get a real job. And so I got into my first job outside of college, you know, that you hope is your career. You have these big dreams, and I'm a year in and it's like I'm failing miserably at both of these things. And the wild part for me is up until that point, I had just succeeded at the things that I was trying to do. And this is like, what in the world? I remember getting pretty jaded, even like with football. I'm like, did I just waste the first 23 years of my life? What was the point now? And so the kind of the really just how God is so providential and loving and awesome. We had started attending Bethel Church in Fargo. We were going, but we weren't really involved or anything. Like I said, my wife has been a believer since she was young. And so it was more her leading this, hey, we should go, and then me coming along. Somewhere along the way in that time, there was a simultaneous thing that happened. There was like a first an understanding of, man, I just feel really lost. I am like, what's my purpose? What should I be doing? I'm married, I'm failing, I'm not very good at my job. And I remember thinking back to Ted Schultz. And I remember thinking, I wish I could be more like him, just as far as like the obvious like joy in his life, but purpose. Like his life seemed to have like purpose. And so around that time, I get a postcard in the mail for a men's Bible study from Bethel Church. And I have zero interest. Like growing, like a Bible study, what? I've never been a part of anything like that. Do people do that type of thing? Like what? And I remember two things. I remember my wife going, Nate, she knows that I'm struggling. You should really give this a try. And me thinking, man, I wish I could be. And because I knew Ted Schultz is his foundationally, like his faith was the center of who he was. And so I remember thinking, okay, because of these things, I'm going to give this a try. And so I always say I begrudgingly walked through the door that first Friday morning for men's Bible study. That was the first time I'd ever been really involved in any Christian fellowship. And it was the same sort of surreal feeling of I'm sitting around this table of guys and I'm interested because, again, I've got this feeling like you guys got something that I don't have. And I'm wondering how to get it. And so, yeah, so what ended up happening is kind of over the course of time, keep showing up. becomes clear to one of the guys that I have an interest, more of an interest. We started meeting outside of that Friday. So I was meeting every week for a year, where every Wednesday I would get together with James, the guy that was discipling me. And then I'd go to our men's group on Friday morning. And it took a while, but I remember one morning going to meet with James, and it was like the gospel finally made sense to me. I was like, James, we're sitting down, and I'm like, I was just thinking about this. Do you understand like what Jesus actually did? The sin, like the punishment that I deserve, like he literally has felt that, like that pain that's mine, that like he's already felt that for me. And James just is like looking across the table and smiling, and he goes, are you seriously just getting that right now? And I'm like, he goes, dude, we talk about that every week. And I go, I guess I am. And I truly believe like it, God will reveal himself when it's our time. There was this growing interest, like undeniable. Like I think the Spirit was moving, but I think it wasn't until then that I truly like was saved from my sins. So all that to say, again, the influence of my coach was instrumental in eventually me coming to know Christ.
Yeah. Wow. That's a pretty good explanation of what you were just, we were talking about earlier with, it was in your head. You knew the answers, you knew the stories, but it was in that moment that God had
like, there, I need a relationship. I need a savior. I'm separated from God because of my sin and I can't do anything about it. And so that finally that just submitting, and that just obviously changed everything for me.
Yeah. So like your wife was following Jesus. How is that? I know the answer to the question, but like you had talked about, you were failing at your job. You were struggling with your identity because you were no longer a football player. You were a former football player, which that's a really tough word to add to the beginning of an athlete, former. And you said like marriage piece was struggling. So what?
Yeah, I would say on the front end, and it's cool because my mother-in-law is just like a spiritual like giant in my wife's side of the family. And she had been praying and they had been praying. And so that was just like a cool, like celebratory time. Cause for the first time in our marriage, it was like, we're finally equally yoked, honestly, with the same purpose, like going towards the same goal. To that point in time, we had not been. In her mind, it's, hey, we need to be honoring the Lord with our marriage and this type of stuff. And I'm like, we just need to make each other happy. And well, these things are not going to meet. And so I think for the first time, right now, all of a sudden it's like, our marriage has real hope because, hey, no matter what, we're in this together, loving each other, sticking together, and ultimately working towards growing in Christ-likeness and our marriage being a representation of the gospel. So that was obviously like transformed. And like, it's not perfect. There's massive ups and downs, but like, it finally is, okay, we're on the same page and going through this life together. So that made obviously a big difference in our marriage.
Stories of His Glory is brought to you by North Dakota Fellowship of Christian Athletes, where our mission is to lead every coach and athlete into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ and His church. Across North Dakota, FCA is on the ground in weight rooms, huddles, and classrooms, building up bold leaders of faith through sports and scripture. Whether it's a student athlete discovering Jesus for the first time, or a coach finding strength in community, lives are being changed every season at FCA. Want to be a part of the movement? Visit fcand.org to get involved or support the mission. Now, let's get back to the story.
So what was it that you illustrated a couple things? You were in a Bible study. You were in a discipleship relationship. If somebody is listening and they're in that point, maybe they're at the place where they're like, I want what Nate's talking about. Because the way you talk about that is evidence that God is moving through it. And if somebody wants that, or somebody has recently just, man, Jesus paid for my sins. What were the steps that you were led in? Because it seems like you already had a fairly healthy relationship with some men. So what would you encourage others to do? Or what were the steps that you were led in that helped you to grow?
Yeah. So there was a couple things. It was like at that point in time, like I had an interest, I was growing, but I think the reality of things is I, just because you come to Christ and are saved, praise God, doesn't make you any smarter.
No, for sure not.
I just felt so grateful to be around guys who could teach me. What do these things mean? What is doctrine? What are these attributes of God? And what does that mean for my life in growing in my understanding of the Lord? Obviously, spiritual disciplines just completely changed, where now this is a relationship. Like, I'm speaking to God on a regular basis. I'm desiring to get in the Word and read it, read the Bible for myself. My whole life, I just taken somebody else's word for it. I need to read. I need to find these things out. I think that those things were huge. But then, like, the reality of things too, like James, when I was younger, he really did a good job of inviting my wife and I into their lives. Very regular. We'd be over at their place for meals and that type of thing. And they were intentional. Like, they were modeling marriage. They were modeling parenting. It was so helpful because it's show me. I'm a show me guy. I'm a rep guy, right? Like, you tell me one thing, oh, you need to do this. That's hard for me, but you show me how to do it. Okay, I can figure that out.
That's really cool how God has worked in your story to give you Ted as a coach, as an example, that he invited you into his home, that you could see him raising his kids. And then 8 to 10 years later, you have the exact same experience with somebody else who is there when it all clicks. And when you connected your head to your heart, man, that's super awesome. So on the coaching side, you got into coaching at some point along that way. I would imagine that Ted's influence over your life was part of the reason why coaching has been such a huge part of your life.
Yeah, absolutely. The biggest mentors in my life, my dad and I think Ted Schultz when I was growing up, both of them coaches. That part just came naturally to me. I want to have that type of influence that those guys have in the lives of people around them because it meant everything to me. As far as it goes with FCA, as far as our to see every athlete and coach come into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ and his church, yes, that's the mission. Our how are we going to try and do that is to administering to and through coaches. I wholeheartedly believe that's the right way to do it. And so I want to be about helping as hard as how God can use, helping create as many of those type of people as we possibly can. Again, because for me, it meant everything to me.
Yeah, that's awesome. And so you're working outside of FCA. And then 14 years ago, 15 years ago, probably, you get this call to come on staff with FCA.
Yeah, interesting how that happened.
When FCA looked a lot different yeah. in North Dakota.
Yeah, this is a God thing too. Like how the dots get connected. So I'll share how it happened to me and then maybe just really short what the state looked like back then. But so I'm newly saved. I'm selling insurance and I call our pastor, Mayor Paul Bond at Bethel Church. And I remember I called him up one day and I said, hey, Pastor Paul, question for you. I go, I'm just trying to figure this stuff out, but I'm curious, what does the Bible say about your job? If say, you really don't like it. Just, you got to provide for your family and soldier on. Like, I'm good at that. I'm curious. Or maybe should the guy do something different? But I said, I'd love to get your input. And he kind of laughs and he goes, let's go out for lunch. So we went out that, I don't know, next couple of days, whatever. We went to, I'll never forget. It was in Doolittle's in Fargo. We're sitting there meeting and he goes, okay, tell me what's up. So I'm sharing with him and okay, some struggles. And he goes, so as far as work, like, what are you interested in? And I go, that's the problem. I go, I'm pretty convinced, like I just wasted like the first 24 years of my life. I go, all I've ever liked and wanted to do was sports. And now that's over. Now I have this passion for Jesus, but okay, this is where I'm at. He kind of smiled and he's like, hey, because I'm just curious. Have you ever heard of FCA? And I go, yeah, I guess I have. I think we had it in my high school. I maybe went once or twice, but I wasn't really involved. But yeah, I've heard about it. And he goes, hey, I'm going to make a phone call. He goes, I think there's a group of guys locally here that are looking to maybe hire somebody. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. So the pause on that deal. So here's what's happening simultaneously. So at that point in time in FCA North Dakota, Mark Radnick was the state director. Mark was the first paid staff person on with FCA. Mark did a phenomenal job. He covered the entire state. It was him and a group of volunteer board members. Impressive, like how God used it. There's FCA all over the state with just very small group. And so a group from Fargo, actually from Bethel Church where we were attending at the time, I didn't know any of this and I didn't really know any of these guys. They decided to go out to a golf scramble that Mark was doing in Bismarck because they had an interest from a different time from somehow in FCA. And so they go out to this golf scramble, FCA golf scramble in Bismarck, and they get this idea of there should be a staff person in Fargo because there's not. And so these guys formed like an impromptu board and they started hosting a golf scramble every year to start raising money to eventually maybe hire somebody in Fargo. And so they would meet periodically to plan this golf scramble and whatever. So anyway, Now back to Doolittle's. Pastor Paul, I'm going to call Andy. It was Andy Doten is the guy. So he calls up Andy. He says, hey, Andy. So Andy answers, Pastor Paul here. Question, are you still looking for an FCA staff person in Fargo? And Andy's, yeah, we are. As a matter of fact, we're meeting right now as a group at a different restaurant. You got somebody in mind? And he's like, I think I do. And so it was just the craziest God thing of like, oh my, this is like what I'm supposed to do. It was so wild though, how that whole thing God just orchestrated and put together. It was really cool.
Wow. Can't really deny it that God's moving, and it's pretty clear. Especially when you look back and you piece it together. At the time, it was probably like, well, that's wild. But now you look back and that's amazing. To wrap this up and just big picture, we're going to have this conversation again and we can go into details and tell stories and all of that. But from that point with Mark, because actually at that point, I was sitting in a Bible, not that same day, but I was in Mark's Bible study on Wednesday mornings, I think it was at the time, or whatever, in Bismarck. I knew Mark pretty well. And to go from Mark Aradnick, state director, Nate Safe now comes on staff over in Fargo. And then a few years ago, you became the state director. And a lot has changed. A lot changed in those 10 years, I think, FCA global, just strategy. But what about just like an overview of where North Dakota is at? Like right now, 2025. And where you feel like, now that you've been a state director for a couple of years, like where you feel like God's taking us?
Yeah, I'll try and be brief on that. But I think the biggest thing that changed, there's just a sharpening of our strategy of how are we trying to accomplish the mission, which is to see every athlete and coach come into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ and his church. And that word every is really big. And when you really start thinking about it, wrap your mind around it, it just gets bigger and bigger. And so at the time, the way we were doing ministry, I say ministry shifted from then to what it is now. We went from what I would say was more reactionary type of ministry to something that is much more intentional. What I mean by reactionary is, and it was just because that was what it was. There was Mark and this entire state of North Dakota. And even when we started adding people, it was like, man, our areas that we're covering, they were just big because it was just us. And so typically what would happen is we'd get introduced to somebody, a volunteer, a coach, a teacher, somebody in a community that's connected to a school going, man, I wish there was something I could do to share my faith with these kids. FCA is potentially a great fit for that person. We have a name that's accepted in like all public schools. I mean, there's not a school in the state really that I'm aware of that we're not allowed to be in. So you have a name that's accepted and trusted. You have a framework as far as person might be like, okay, this sounds great, but I've never done anything like this before. You know, like, okay, we have some tools to help you. Like, how is this ministry going to look? And then we have a lot of resources available for those type of people. So what the process would be is, you know, we go through a vetting process with that potential leader. And hey, if we're on the same page as far as our doctrine and what we believe, great, let's do this. So here's what we think that you need. And good luck. Let us know if you have any questions. It was just really hard to really invest in anywhere in particular. And so I think the biggest change that's happened is it's on a national scale of this idea that shrink to grow mentality of, okay, if we're going to really take this mission statement seriously, we need to be able to hire more staff people who can focus on smaller areas and be more intentional with less people. And so that's really been where the shift in ministry has occurred. It's really been something that God has used as a passion point for me. What that looks like across the state right now is we have about 180 high schools and colleges in the state of North Dakota, something like 4,300 coaches, and I can't remember the number of athletes, but are of students, but it's a lot. And so it's like, okay, that is our mission field. So as for me, what that looks like is we've broken the state down into 7 different areas. And in my role is to hire area directors like the Ryan Junglings of the world in Bismarck, North Dakota, who is from this area. Like, hey, who is an expert of this area that understands the communities, the culture of this area? Who is the person that's best fit to build a team to try and reach every coach and athlete for Christ in these different areas? And so what I see, where I see us going is continuing down that path of identifying the staff people that God would be calling into director positions who are then building teams out locally of reps. But ultimately what we're trying to get to in a situation where we can continue to be better at being available and able to invest in coaches and athletes with the gospel, pouring God's word into them, and ultimately empowering them into Great Commission ministry of their own. That's what we want to be about. But we just had to change things so we could get in a position where we could really spend the majority of our time going after these folks, not just hoping they come to us.
That intentional ministry, right?
Absolutely.
The one-on-one relationships, knowing, being a resource, being somebody that can step in and provide the resources that are needed to show up at a school and to support somebody, to have a regular contact with them. It has been incredible to see in the state just what's been happening and to know that, man, God is moving, God is leading us. And like we talk about this a lot, but we are a sports ministry by our focus. That's who we're going to go after. But at the end of the day, we are all about the gospel and we're all about sharing the gospel and getting the Bible into people's hands, because that changes everything.
Amen.
So, Nate, thanks for your time here today. And to you, the listener, thanks for coming along on this journey with us.
Thanks again for being part of Stories of His Glory. If today's episode inspired you, take a moment to share it and be sure to follow or subscribe so you won't miss what's coming next. Psalm 96:3 reminds us to declare His glory among the nations, His wondrous works among all peoples. The field is yours. Now go glorify Him.